Ladies and gentlemen, you are about to witness some scenes from the next attraction to play this theater. This picture, truly one of the most unusual ever filmed, contains scenes which under no circumstances should be viewed by anyone with a heart condition or anyone who is easily upset. We urgently recommend that if you are such a person or the parent of a young or impressionable child now in attendance, that you and the child leave the auditorium for the next 90 seconds.
Well, hello, film freaks. You found another episode of the Video Nasty Project. What's tonight's movie, you ask? Tonight, we're taking a look at Hell of the Living Dead. A guilty pleasure of the highest degree, according to Monsters of Play on the box. But it is Bruno Mattei, so we'll see if that pays out or not. Why don't you check out the trailer?
Village is contaminated. There have been many deaths. Now they're celebrating the funerals.
Bodies have to be cremated.
Wish to God I knew what's happening here.
I insist that the most serious situation we have to deal with is cremating the bodies. Cut it out! Stop wasting your damn bullets, you jerks! You need to hit their heads! I told you! Say, like this! Get away! I'm not on the menu after all. Don't let it worry you. I think you will all meet again. In hell! Hurry up, get going. Here they come.
No, no.
What's wrong with this? Who's over there?
What happened?
I heard some funny noises in the back there.
Hurry. Rigo, check the coordinates.
No! Bastard!
No! No!
Experimental project Operation Sweet Death must be considered a complete failure.
All these high-powered installations, like a factory from a future world, safely hidden.
You're all doomed to a horrible death. Doomed to be eaten up. First they'll kill you.
Get back, you won't get me! Get off me! No! No! No!
I'm shocked, shocked, I tell you, that it's taken this long to get to a Bruno Mattei movie on the list.
I don't even know if I've seen one. I mean, I've heard his name tossed around. I've seen a trailer for one of the movies, but I don't think I've actually seen it.
Congratulations, we popped your cherry with Hell of the Living Dead. We've got tonight an Italian zombie movie that has absolutely nothing whatsoever to do with being inspired by Dawn of the Dead.
Nope, nothing at all.
I lie. It was totally ripping off Dawn of the Dead.
Oh, man.
So it starts out with this facility, oil processing plant, nuclear, lots of pipes and steam and whatnot around. And there's kind of exciting drama music, and it pans up to the control room where apparently everything in this control room is controlled by this one set of green buttons. Because they say, what's the status on the reactor? Green. Oh, it's fine. Where's the contamination at? Green.
It's like 3 or 4 shots of the same freaking lights lighting up the exact same way for everything.
A very robust command center, apparently.
Also, when the two technicians are wandering around in the steam tunnels, every single valve they look at is just a simple steam valve. No other equipment relating to, like, chemical processing or nuclear reactor or oil rig or whatever the fuck this place is.
I loved their radiation suit, which was basically they took one of the beekeeper helmets and put it on. And fortunately, radiation doesn't go up up your sleeves or in your faceplate like that.
Unlike rats.
Unfortunately, rats do.
Yeah, rats go right under the splatter guard face gear.
So they go down there. They're like checking out like a leak or a something down in the sub basement, and they say, "Oh my God, it's a rat!" And they pick up the rat, and the rat just straight up the guy's sleeve and up to his faceplate, and his face just explodes in blood.
Literally, like showered in blood inside his rubber face-plated splatter guard thingy. And then, out of nowhere comes green fog.
Well, there's
the mist.
Because the dude's stumbling around trying to get the clawing rat out of his sealed faceplate helmet and, like, bumps into a reactor thing and all of a sudden, whoosh!
Green chemicals of death everywhere.
Yes.
Bet those green lights didn't detect that, you motherfucker.
Yeah.
So, the reactor facility goes into, holy shit, we've just sprayed green mist all over the place, and people start running around, and the people with the clipboards start looking at their clipboards, and people pushing buttons.
And it's utter panic.
Utter panic. The director, he goes into the back of his, goes back to his office, and he's like, gets on the microphone and starts recording his memoirs. It's like, Project Sweet Death is a failure. We must consider this contamination to be, you know, excessive, and the virus is mutating. They called their Project Sweet Death. What the fuck were they expecting to happen?
An investigation team goes down to find the two technicians and to maybe, hopefully, fix the leaky, evil green fog of death. And get attacked by zombies, and they do the classic maneuver, which we see repeatedly in this movie, of standing around going, what the hell?
While people are being eaten.
To be fair, the zombies are pretty shit, too, because you have this horde of zombies attacking you, and all they do is just kind of wave their hands at you and stand there and look menacingly while you wave a torch at them.
They're in this perpetual twilight state of sometimes you do, sometimes you don't. And it's just,
And then we cut to the housing complex from Dawn of the Dead, basically, where you've got this American ambassador and his staff have been kidnapped by terrorists who are apparently freaking out over something called Project Green Sweet Death. And the cops are all surrounding the building and they're all kind of looking up at him. And that's where we meet our protagonists of the film. Basically, okay, now, when you're watching Dawn of the Dead and you see Fran and Flyboy and Peter and Roger go off this direction, and you've got the guys who take the boat and go off in this direction, this story is basically following the guys in the boat. You have four Woolies freaking out going off this way.
Shit, man, this is better than I got.
The four SWAT guys or National Guard or whatever the hell they are show up in their Jeep, and they get involved in the action to take out these terrorists. And there's a bunch more. who go in there, and they basically surround the killers and take them all out. But the leader, as always, gets the final word. He's basically, you people, oh, you just don't get it. You're all going to die a terrible, slow death. It's all your fault. And then falls dead.
So they all of a sudden teleport down to Papua New Guinea.
They couldn't have even done a simple airplane shot.
Or a wipe to or something. Yeah. They just suddenly are in, well, a graveyard, because we start seeing, this is our first instance of stock footage, where there's this sort of primitive tribal graveyard thing with like a whole bunch of desiccated skeletons on like spikes and in cages and stuff. And you get the voiceover of the commander saying, yeah, we're down in Papua New Guinea and we're trapped in this graveyard and we're sick of this shit. Why don't you send us to a better spot or something like that?
Clearly they've developed teleporters.
If they had teleporters, why didn't they teleport to the facility?
They suck. they teleport one way.
So the SWAT team is on a mission to get to the reactor, oil plant, whatever the fuck facility. And so they have to travel through Papua New Guinea. They run into our second set of protagonists, this reporter, which, and her cameraman.
And this couple who are down on, apparently, with the reporter, right? It's never really clear why the couple are there, and they bring their kid along, and the husband is basically castigating his wife for child abuse, bringing him down to a place with mosquitoes and blah, 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 instead of leaving him home and having a cushy time while they come down here to do
also, there's the guy we see in the back of the vehicle, the back of the Land Rover, who we never see again.
So this Land Rover of reporters and children and family drive up to this abandoned town
I think it's a mission of some sort.
We're not really sure. And they start getting out and start looking around. And because the child, he's been, like, injured. I mean, we know it to be bitten by a zombie, but they don't know. And that's when the zombies start showing up, because they start coming out of the woods, and the reporter goes into this one room, and there's this zombie, and they're like, excuse me, sir, we're looking for some help, and he turns around and bleh.
And the other reporter, the main one, comes back from with her cameraman. They went off to shoot some stuff, some nature and whatnot.
And get water.
And turns out there's a deader in the reservoir. And I'm thinking to myself, I'm looking at that water going, why the fuck would anybody ever drink out of it? It looks disgusting.
Even if you take the zombie out of the equation,
it's still disgusting.
I ain't going to drink that shit.
No. And so, of course, they just decide to go back. Oh, that's peculiar. She screams. They turn around. Let's not be here anymore. Walk back. Hear the scream of this, the other reporter or whoever, news anchor woman. And then she stumbles back covered in blood. And the Monsignor is walking after her. A Monsignor in a white robe. I thought that was a rather good decision, because then, you know, blood and stuff is a good contrast.
And so that's pretty much the movie from that point on, is them traveling through Papua New Guinea to get to the reactor facility.
All the SWAT guys are basically, they kind of have their own definite personality traits, like the Paul Newman, you know, SWAT guy, who's kind of a little edgy, but he's basically a good soul. Then you've got David Dastmalchian with the long hair and the crooked nose, who's kind of the woolly mixed with Roger. You know, he goes in to the midst of these zombie hordes and just, I mean, he's just like chewing the scenery like nobody's fucking business.
Yes, they have all of a defining personality traits, but there's absolutely no development to these characters whatsoever. They serve one purpose in this movie, to stand there and freak out over the zombies and the zombies for them to kill. That's the only reason these people exist. That's as far as the development goes.
I love the one bit where the Monsignor gets shot in the head and black nastiness gets spread all over the chalkboard. That was awesome.
It's Uncooked Dinner Plate Special number 2. Maybe plate lunch. I don't know. But the best headshot in the entire movie, I thought, was the old woman in her bedroom. The one occupied by the cat.
After the cat explodes out of her chest like an alien.
Yeah, an undead cat who's been feasting on her innards, and then is forcefully expelled from there. And then she wakes up. And the eyes open, it's like, yeah, that works. She's definitely dead. And then she gets it in the head. And this woman is a pro. She's just rocked over like that.
I thought the gore looked pretty good. I thought the zombie makeup looked pretty good. They had like that turn, that one bit where the guy turned around and he saw the half of his face was all Two-Facey looking.
Yeah.
I thought that looked really good. It wasn't your Dawn of the Dead, okay, we're just going to take a Hare Krishna and put him in blue face paint.
They actually did some good jobs with the makeup effects and just the effects in general. I noticed sometimes zombies were injured. Like, there was one that had his arm was kind of, like, partly severed here, and it was dangling loose. You know, I was like, okay, that's a good touch.
Although I did think sometimes they could have done a little better with parts matching, like when they're chomping down on a leg and pulling what looked like liver from there. It's like, couldn't you have given some chicken or something? Something that looks more leg fleshy.
And there were points in the movie where there's this zombie bites some guy's hand and like starts pulling on the fingers. And I mean, the fingers, the latex just stretches. Or like the close-up on a couple of faces that get mangled, you can tell, yeah, that's a latex face.
Well, hell, the first kill in the movie, the very first one where in the complex where the undead are feasting on one of their co-workers and his ribs are exposed and they're pulling out the organs, you can see his bare chest under the gore, under the liver and stuff.
Okay, it's a zombie Italian, they don't give a fuck movie. This sort of thing happens. Yeah. And they ain't got time for retake.
Yeah, I mean, suffice to say, they're obviously very gung-ho about just getting it done. This is a clear example of guys that just jump into the shit and say, fuck it, let's just get it, let's just go in there and shoot it.
Obviously, a significant portion of their budget was spent at the local butcher shop, because a lot of what we see is just random cuts of meat.
There were moments in this movie that were effective, like the bit where... the scene was directly ripped off from Dawn of the Dead, and the mouth movements didn't at all match the dialogue, but, like, the scenes with, like, the UN, where, and they're like, you know, we have to face this zombie crisis, and the guys in the Third World are like, you know, the Zimbabwe people and the folks down in Papua New Guinea are like, you white people, you're fucking us, we're tired of you fucking us. I thought those scenes were really, really effective. So, yes, it didn't quite mechanically work, but I thought it served the story.
Also, just how totally dismissive America and Europe was to that aspect of the situation.
And I might mention the U.S. delegate had a decided British accent, which I thought was kind of telling, actually.
Being that it's an Italian cheapie, okay, they're going to kind of cut corners here and there. I do have to give the movie this. It looks good in places. The sets mm-hmm. and stuff.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, they do some good sets like that. And good use of existing places like the big industrial complex, the interiors, the control rooms, all that stuff. All the walkways and the use of spraying out mist and everything to give the place depth.
I mean, I'll give the movie this. It gives you what you want in a zombie movie. The first 5 minutes, boom! It's, you know, zombies everywhere. And then it maintains a pretty decent pace of zombies, a little bit of padding, and then more zombies, and then a little bit of padding.
And one really effective shot or series of shots is the SWAT guys are talking, and then they show a dead, native tied up, arms, you know, wrists, ankles. They kind of track in, they intercut these shots, and then the last one, not there. That's like, what the fuck? Well, then turn around, hi there! And then he stands there, and then he smiles, you know, as blood or whatever drips down
meat.
His mouth. And then, of course, he gets it, and then you get into the full-blown invasion, you know, of this village, and people getting wiped out and shit. And it's like, ooh, that's not good. And another thing about Papua New Guinea cannibals I've seen in a documentary is the men wear gourds on their dicks.
Yeah, there wasn't any dick gourds here.
Probably a little too much flesh on display, although they did have one person being put on what looked like a hollowed out half log, and the man was clearly naked. It had this huge jaw.
Holy shit, that guy was hung!
God
The, I mean, it was very like, popular with the women when he was alive.
Probably. I mean, this John Holmes guy had, it was like that long.
He was deformed.
Fuck. It's not like you're looking for it either. It's just there.
It's so in your face that even I couldn't help but notice, holy shit.
I mean, no matter where you look on the screen, it's like if you'd seen this in the cinerama, it'd just be dick, dick, dick.
It's like widescreen.
Widescreen. Like, yeah. It's in super wide and super long. It's long screen.
It's like we need to get the lens from Lawrence of Arabia just to film this guy's dick. Oh my God, this guy was hung.
Thank God, it's CinemaScope. My Jesus. Extra long screen.
Well, there you go. And on that note, on that penis, we shall hang up our hats.
Yeah, there's room.
All right. Yeah.
Yeah, oh boy. Oh boy. So is Hell of the Living Dead nasty? Does it belong on the list?
Hella nasty.
Definitely.
Definitely on the list.
Yep.
Back up that thesis.
Well, I thought the death of the reporter at the very end was particularly gratuitous, where she gets her tongue ripped out, gets a fist shoved in the mouth, and her eyes popped out from behind.
I don't think I would put it on the list just because we've seen a lot of stuff slip through, like The Beyond, which, if that didn't make the list, then this probably wouldn't, because it's so fake and so...
The intent behind a lot of the killings in the movie... revealed later on to be genocide, makes this particularly nasty when you consider all the deaths, the very graphic ones, the black-on-black violence of the natives against each other, or the dead killing the undead. Which,
so you're going more for themes that are offensive versus the violence on screen.
Well, there and violence. I mean, what about the kid? You have this 4-year-old boy who falls dead on screen after suffering a lot, wakes up, eats his father, then gets shot not once, but about twice by one of the SWAT guys in close-up as, you know, undead.
I think what might have wound up on the sensorial radar, why it wound up being pinged, was because you had the stock footage of the animal violence.
That could be, although, to be fair, it's the same stuff you'd see on Mutual of Omaha on TV. I mean, they cut away before there was any blood drawn. It was just a tackle.
We know that's animal footage of being, of, you know, cruelty is an automatic red flag. So even though it wasn't shot for the movie, even though it was liberated from another cannibal movie, I think that, like the fox eating the that squirrel thing, that's what got it on the censor list.
That might be true, but I've always seen animal cruelty as staged for the camera with the intent of humans killing animals or pitting animals against each other specifically for entertainment value, such as Mountain of the Cannibal God, where you have various animals being pushed into confrontations on a studio or out in nature, or Cannibal Holocaust and Ferox, where animals were killed by stage hands or somebody other than the stars who would never actually do it because you never see them do it in long shots.
You are thinking of this like a rational, reasonable person as opposed to an uptight blue hair.
The animal footage in this was all stock, and the one bit of cruelty was something that probably was just shot in field somewhere.
They didn't have that tribe that was gutting that zebra thing.
I thought they were gutting a human. I thought it was
a pig.
Well, what it is doesn't matter. There's a scene of a tribe's butchering an animal.
I thought it was they were gutting somebody that was going to be put up and part of the ceremony for purifying the village because of the infection or whatever.
And you're applying a level of granularity that they're not going to care about. They see something being killed.
Yeah.
And they're going to freak out over it. So they don't care if it's stock footage. They don't care if it was shot for this movie in particular. They don't care what animal it was. They see somebody butchering another animal, they're going to put on the list.
Yeah.
All right. So on the list. I'm much more forgiving. There you go. Did you like Hell of the Living Dead?
I thought it was terribly done, but highly enjoyable. Partly because of how terrible it was.
I I'm not going to disagree with that. I'm going to buy into that thesis because this movie, by every measurable metric, is fucking awful. It's Bruno Mattei. It's the least shitty Bruno Mattei movie. We'll give it that.
Okay, that's valid.
But I enjoyed the fuck out of it. Oh my God. The only thing I would have done was maybe I would have removed a little bit of the flabby padding in the middle when they got to the tribe. I might have trimmed some of that, and I might have reduced the level of stock footage that was employed. And if they had tightened it up to maybe an hour 10, an hour 20, as opposed to the hour 40 that it ran, then it would have been, yes, I would have enthusiastically given you the thumbs up on this. As it is, I'm just kind of, hey, that was a really fucking entertaining movie.
You're absolutely right. By any quality of measurement of a film, this fails on so many levels. But the comedy value, just the oh my God, I can't believe they did that, was just like, it was golden.
So, mi amigo, did you like Hell of the Living Dead?
I found it just frustrating every time they just stood around and watched each other get eaten or watched other people get eaten. It's like, why the fuck would anybody do that? You're supposed to jump in there and kill these things, not watch them eat people. This is the retarded, slowed down version of an action scene where people would go, oh, hey, dead folks, blam. No, they don't do that. They literally stand there in each and every scene for at least 5 to 10 seconds before they do anything. They have this glazed over look on their faces like the terror has mind locked them and tied them to the ground. It's like having one of those big boots on your car. You can't go anywhere no matter how fast the engine revs up. The SWAT guys or National Guard or whatever the fuck they're supposed to be are trained militarized types. They're supposed to be men of action, and yet they stand around like fucking deer in headlights. It's pathetic. I mean, yes, okay, they haven't dealt with dead folks before. Get over it. You're in it. You're up to your necks in it. This is what you trained for. This is the shit where you're supposed to just let loose with this shit.
You'd think after the first encounter they'd wise up.
How about the 10th encounter? They've faced these things down dozens of times in this movie. Dozens. Not one dozen, more than one.
So tell us how you really feel about the movie.
It fucking sucks, but I thought it was entertaining.
I got nothing on that. There you go. We'll see you next week.
And now, intermission. Refreshment time.
All right. Thank you, Bruno. Your service to the Video Nasties will not be forgotten. So what's next week's movie? Next week, we've got Human Experiments. Never seen it, just got the DVD. We'll see if it's any good. All right, in the meantime, tell us what you thought about Bruno Mattei and his epic, epic movie. Drop us a note at thevideonastyproject@gmail.com, and we'll catch you next week. Until then, stay evil.
She may not know much about chemistry, but in bed her reactions are terrific.
I'm not surprised with that cute little ass.
I'm a tit man myself.